Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. Talking with me today, Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire at SermonCoach.com to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And in that regard, David, because we've done a large number of podcasts now, I thought it would be good to review what I think of as key sermon lesson number one. Tell me what you think that is, and I'll see if it's the same lesson I have in mind.
I am sure that it's going to be the same. Okay, I basically have said to pastors all my life, early on in the sermon preparation process, you need to answer these four questions. And if you don't know the answer, don't work further on your sermon until you get the answer to these four. And once you get those clearly in your head, then it is that you can do the rest of it quite easily. So that's probably what you were thinking about, right? Those four basic questions.
You're exactly right. So what's question number one?
Well, I say to the pastors, you might start with question one or two. I usually start with one, and I say, what's the subject that I'm talking about? I've heard too many sermons when they're all finished. I can't figure out what the subject is. Now, the subject is not the same as the text, and the subject is not necessarily the same as the title you give your sermon. The subject is what it is that is basic that you're talking about, okay? And I thought maybe the best way for us to look at this to help pastors to whom this may be new material would be to pick a text ourselves, and then I'll put you through the paces. And I'll say, okay, Dean, what's the answer to this question? And I'll see you sweat, okay?
Okay.
These four questions are easy to understand as far as what the questions are. They're hard to answer as far as, you know, coming up with what you're searching for. So I've got a text, and I marked it here in my Bible, and it's going to start where the line in pencil is and go down to the bottom line. As soon as you read it, you'll say, oh, I recognize this text, okay?
Okay, this is Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16, and talking about Jesus, and he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God.
Okay, you've read that passage before many times, so now I'm going to force you to think about it, all right? And we haven't rehearsed, you know, nothing's been said, so you're on the spot, Dean, okay?
Okay.
So I say there are four questions, say that's the passage you're going to preach on. There are four questions you need to answer early on in the sermon preparation process, you know, okay? So you got a text. Sometimes you don't even start with a text. You start with an idea. It can be, you know, topical or textual. We're doing a textual one. We got what Jesus said. Now, the question is, what's the subject that we're talking about, okay? And you can either answer that one or you can answer the question, what's the response that Jesus desires from this teaching, okay? So which one's easier? Maybe the response is easier. It's pretty obvious, but I'm going to see if it's obvious to you. It's hard to get it into words. What is the response being called for here?
Okay, to get to that response, I think about what Jesus was trying, the point he was trying to make.
Yes.
The point he was trying to make was, don't focus all of your attention on laying up treasures here on earth. You need to focus your attention on laying up treasure in heaven.
Okay.
And many times, laying up treasures in heaven is going to be diametrically opposed to laying up treasure on this earth.
Okay, so that's perfect. So the response he wants is to think from an eternal perspective.
Right.
Don't just think about the here and now. Think about your life in terms of eternity, which is an obvious answer, and is probably something a lot of people don't do. So what's the subject of what's going on here?
What you're going to devote your life to, or how you're going to devote your life.
Okay, so I'm going to say struggle with it just a little bit more.
Okay.
He's talking about that's almost the response more than the subject.
Yeah, I guess it is. That's right.
So the subject is, you're going to say, oh, Maines, that's too obvious. You know, but the subject is basically, is this guy a wise person or is he a stupid fool?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So what does the wise person do?
Yeah, the wise person lays up treasures in heaven, whereas the foolish person focuses, as this one did, on building bigger barns and focusing on gaining all those material possessions, only to be at the brought to the point of his death sooner than he thought.
Yeah, and now he's turned out to be a fool. Okay, right. So you say Jesus is saying the wise person thinks about life from eternal perspective. Okay, now as that's pretty simple. We got a subject. Yeah. You're going to be wise or you're going to be dopey, you know. And what's the response? We want you to think about life from an eternal perspective. Okay, right. Now do most people know how to do that?
No, so that leads us to the third question.
Okay, subject, what's my subject? What's my response? Do people know how to do this? Now, does it say in the text how to do that?
No, it doesn't really.
Yeah, and almost always it doesn't, which is the hard part. Now, and most of the time, because preachers have been taught to be textual, they just work on the text, and then how do you do that? They don't know. So you have to come up with that yourself, okay? And I've said to them, oftentimes the Bible doesn't say, because how people would do that in the first century AD is a lot different than do it in, you know, in the year 2011, 12, whatever, in the United States. They're just different worlds. So the fact that he doesn't say how to do that necessarily is probably to the advantage, so that the book isn't dated instantly. Mm-hmm. So do you think from an eternal perspective, Dean?
Some of the time. I hope most of the time.
I've heard you even in the time we've been together. You think eternal perspective. You say, I don't want to do that because someday I'll have to give an account to God.
That's true.
So you're thinking from an eternal perspective. So basically, to help people to do that, how did you get to the place where you started thinking from an eternal perspective?
Well, part of it was an awareness of the trap and seeing there is a lure. The things of this world have an allure.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that word allure is the lure part, because mm-hmm. it really wants to attract you and then get its hook into you and snag you. And so really, in every situation, life is a series of choices. In every situation of life, you're constantly choosing. You're making a choice. And to live for Christ, that's a conscious choice, but it's not a one-time choice. I'm going to decide to live for Christ, so I'm going to choose that. That overarching decision is then a series of small individual choices that literally affects every decision that you make in your life. And you could laugh about that and say, well, that's silly because there's so many choices that are so mundane. But actually, I think that you can make at least do the analysis in every one of your choices and decide, is there a choice that's more heaven directed or a choice that's more earth directed? And many times there's clearly a choice, and other times maybe it's not as clear. But if you really think about it enough, yeah, there's a choice here, and I'm making a choice that's more heaven-directed than more earth-directed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've gotten relatively good at that, because I've been around you enough to realize that. I think I'm relatively good at it as well. Sometimes I come to a crossroad and say, I understand that's not the heavenly choice, but I'm going to do it my way anyway. Mm-hmm. And then I usually get pounded.
Yeah, and I regret it.
Yeah, you regret it. You say, someday, unless I confess that and say I willfully went against what you put in my heart that I should do, you know, you don't want to do that too often, because that becomes habit forming as well. And then you shut off the voice of the Holy Spirit and such. But, you know, you've talked enough that if I said, Dean, could you put together a sermon on this text? Mm-hmm. You could probably do that, because you're already wrestling with it. And you're saying, okay, this wise person thinks about life from an eternal perspective. And again, you're probably not tempted in terms of building bigger barns, but you are tempted in areas I've heard you talk about. I could do this and it would satisfy me humanly speaking, but it would be against God's will, and I'd have to give an accounting someday, and I don't want to have to do that. You know. Now, the question is, again, how did you get there? So we're looking, we got a subject, the wise person or the foolish person, however you wanted. You'd probably talk about the foolish person, not talk about the wise person, because you say you think negatively,
right.
I think positive.
Right.
Okay, but we're going to think about life from an eternal perspective. Now, I do that, how did I get there? And then I have to figure out how did I get there in a way that it would help other people get there, okay? And then we have to say, what is the how long involved here? How long does that take you? And you've already hinted at how long. If you repeat some of what you said before, does that come back to you?
Sure. It's a long process. I think it's a long process, but it's also a step-by-step. You have to start thinking about it consciously, and then it becomes more automatic. So it's not something that you're going to make that decision and it's going to be that way forever. You're going to have to work on it. So you can enjoy some immediate success in a relatively short period of time, but for it to become very ingrained into who you are, it's going to take possibly years of practice. And there are going to be some times when you backslide in that decision and you have to make a correction. You have to change the decision that you've made or determine not to make that bad decision mm-hmm. again. So the how long is, there's certainly some immediate value. If I say to someone, if they say to me, how long is it going to take? I'm going to say, if you start today, you'll see some results very soon, but understand it's a lifetime. That's part, when we say we're experiencing the kingdom of God now, and we say we're walking with Christ, the truth is we're walking a lifetime with Christ. It's step by step along the pathway that he's led out before us. And it is in fact going to take our lifetime to reach whatever goal he set for us.
Yeah, but at the same time, you set up pretty strong habit patterns.
Yes.
So when you say, I've started to think that way, after a while it becomes ingrained almost. Mm-hmm. And we're always aware of the human ability to screw things up. But it becomes so ingrained that you become almost inviolable in that area. Never cocky,
right.
But at the same time saying, I can't think that way because I've learned to think from an eternal perspective, you know. And you get good at it over time. I mean, you get to be our age and you've set up good patterns and the Lord has been good. And you say, wow, I'm so glad I don't make the same mistakes I did 20 years ago in those areas. Do you think you have a sermon already in your head?
We've
got four answers to questions. We already got the sermon in our head. And once those are set, your mind starts subconsciously thinking about it, and you come up with the illustrations, and it's easy. But again, the point is those basic questions dealt with early on. What's my subject? What's the response I'm calling for? Do people know how to do it, and how do I help them get to that place? How long is it going to take, just so they have an idea that you don't solve this overnight, you know? Basically, that's where you're going in your sermon, and that's the outline you follow. What I want to talk about? Do you want to be a wise person? You want to be a fool? Well, I'm going to tell you the difference as far as what Jesus said. I'm just thinking about possible right. introductions. Mm-hmm. Okay, we reviewed, and hopefully using that text, and I would say, Dean, you did quite well. I would give you an A-, but I'm only giving you an A- because I don't want you to get cocky, okay?
I appreciate that very much. We're so glad that you joined us for this podcast, and we invite you to come back for our next podcast. We also invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. One of those resources is the concept of early in the sermon preparation process, come up with the answer to the four basic questions: subject, response, how to, and how long. We invite you to join us for our next podcast, and we'll have more information to share with you then.